This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers, a wine and gold winner last night, a no-doubter, 136-106. They're 1-0, and the win was so nice. Because of all the turmoil that's gone on with the Browns over the last week, I'm like, man, we have wasted our time with JB Bickerstaff. Get that bum. I'm glad the bum's gone. I'm glad Kenny Atkinson's here. We should have done this last year. Whatever rumors about Donovan Mitchell not liking the guy are true. Team Donovan. Love Donovan. Love the way this is going. Evan Mobley. I mean, my God. More dominant than Shaquille O'Neal out there. More dominant than Walt Chamberlain out there. I mean, Ty Jerome, 14 points in 19 minutes. And, I mean, goodness gracious, he can get on the green in two. Outstanding. From him off the bench. What a night last night, Tone.
Do people know what the Ty Jerome references are alluding to?
No, not right now. But if they listened last year, then they kind of. That's why you have to listen to all 4 hours every single day so you find the Easter eggs.
It was amazing. It was amazing last night. Evan Mobley was everything for once because we saw similar clips last year during the summer, and then the season started, and he was god-awful on offense for a long period of time, and really didn't wake up until the Boston series. Remember, he was not good at all offensively in that Orlando Magic series, and if the season would have ended right after that series, holy cow, we would have had big questions about Evan Mobley.
A lot of panic buttons, yeah.
But what you saw yesterday was a continuation of, I think, that mindset that, hey, I'm now in my fourth year. A lot of these guys defending me are either smaller than me or way less talented than me, and he showed some confidence that to me was the biggest difference. I mean, he was dribbling in space. I think he only lost the ball. One of the guards dug down from up top and stole the ball once, but his man was not taking the ball from him. He was spinning around guys when he had the matchup opportunities, and what I thought was most apparent, the amount of times Scotty Barnes, and now Scotty Barnes and Evan Mobley are kind of forever linked because Scotty got the rookie of the year honor that first year.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was close. I mean, you could give it to either one of them. I would have gone Evan, but it was pretty close. And ends up Scotty got the nod. Well, you know, that kind of stuff sticks with guys forever. And last night he humiliated Scotty Barnes. Every time Scotty was on him, he backed him down, like two big dribbles, spin moves, seal off, easy bucket. Then another one, Scotty actually anticipated the spin move, and then it was a feathery touch, kind of six-footer over him, like unstoppable. That stuff can't be stopped. And I was just blown away by that confidence. He only took two threes, but both looked good. And he got to the foul line, the six free throws. And had he have played the whole game, I mean, you would have had a double-digit free throw night if that was a close game easily. And so those are the things you're looking at because it just makes life so much easier on everyone else.
Larry in Maple Heights, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I just think the Cavs, they only beat Toronto. I wasn't really impressed about that.
Well, why? Well, you would just come over and fart my dinner then, Larry.
Hey, Come on, man.
It's opening night. I can't be excited about opening night. My young power forward playing as well as he did. I know it's only Toronto.
Right. Let's just do this against better teams like Boston or something.
Well, he can only play who you put in front of him.
Yeah,
and
but
all they did was put Toronto in front of him last night.
You didn't see any pep in the step of Evan Mobley last night, Larry?
Going up
against a guy that some people thought was better than Evan Mobley as recently as like last year.
Take that, Larry. What do you think about that, buddy?
Hey, I just wasn't impressed with that. None of that.
So what, did you just sit
in the win big last
Larry,
night.
Did you just sit in your house and watch that game last night with your arms crossed? They won by 30, by the way, Larry. That's a big
game
win.
Game was over in the second quarter.
Yeah.
But when you're supposed to win like that against those teams.
And they did.
Okay, I wasn't impressed.
Okay.
You know what I'm not impressed with?
Yeah.
My kid got into Harvard Law, but that was the expectation. So what do you want, a party? Jeez.
He's supposed to get into Harvard Law. He's my son, damn it. Now, obviously, I'm embellishing a little bit about the Cavs and opening night last night, and I don't think that J.B. Bickerstaff is a bum.
But we will find out on Friday.
Oh, my God. If they go out there and lose against the Pistons, I got to take it all back. Now I got to agree with Larry.
Well, then I won't be as impressed.
I will be less impressed.
I think they're going to be fine.
They'll be .500, so I'll be halfway impressed.
Right.
Kenny Atkinson spoke yesterday. Yeah, Evan Mobley spoke to the TV cameras right after, but Evan doesn't say very much. And Kenny Atkinson was able to say a lot more about him and how impressed he was about Evan Mobley in his game last night against Toronto.
His defense, I just think that's where it started. He started getting blocks and steals and seemed like he was everywhere, and that, you know, we kind of swarmed him a little bit and we got turnovers. He got in the open court, but really, really composed. They started pressuring him early. He turned it over and he really settled into his game. So heck of a game.
He went on a little bit further, talked about getting Evan Mobley the ball a whole lot more.
He's got great speed, first of all, for a big man. So he handles the ball much better than I thought. So you get him on the move, whether you set a pick for him or whether he gets it in space, he's really, really pretty good at breaking guys down and getting by guys. So they were really tight on him at first. They knew that was the key, try to muscle him. But once he gets space, once we got him the ball early, got him in transition, he really made things happen.
This is an interesting question Kenny had to answer. Final clip I'll play of him from last night, where he was asked if he was comfortable with Evan Mobley being the leading scorer.
Yes, and I think we're all good. I think if you ask Donovan, Darius, I think we know there's a real intention to get him the ball, get him the ball in space, like you said, get him the ball in mismatches. It doesn't happen if, you know, the other guys around him aren't willing to do it. You have to, and we've talked about it. We've had those conversations. A lot of times it's not a play call. It just happens where Donovan flips him the ball. You know, Donovan could go one-on-one. He just flips him the ball, goes, sets a screen for him. Darius, same thing. They know how important he is. They know we all need to elevate him because he's not the point guard, right? But now you say, we're going to share it with you, Evan. Tonight was a great example, so a great team effort in terms of getting him the ball.
Whoever asked him that question, hopefully it was Danny Cunningham, I was very happy with him answering that question because a team like Toronto, Toronto sucks, and they will suck this year. I want Evan Mobley to be leading scorer. Like I think Owen and you had mentioned this at the very open of the show. Had Donovan Mitchell scored 51 last night and you won by 6, I would have chalked it up to, hey, it's the first game of the season, whatever. But it would just feel like it's more of the same. I don't want to have to play Donovan Mitchell 40 minutes in game one against Toronto to start things off. He played 28 minutes last night. Like, I was glad with that. Like, yeah, Evan Mobley in year four should have that type of performance, but it's nice to have that. So I just feel a little bit better about all this. Now, their biggest test to me isn't coming up until what, next week when they play Milwaukee in a home-and-home? So we'll start to go from there. My answer to you is, does the regular season, to me it matters because of what possible trades could be made or if they're going to stand pat with the core four. And as of right now, it looks like they could very well stand pat with the core four. But we've only played one game. We got 81 left to go. Do you think the regular season is going to have that much enjoyment for the general fan out there? Or is it just going to turn into, I'll see you guys in April because I've been down this road many times?
Yeah.
I hope it's not the latter. I hope that we can enjoy the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about it. We're not a championship team. Like, I could understand if, like the LeBron teams, they were in the finals every year. They'd won a title in 2016. that's going to diminish the regular season because all you really care about at that point is guys being healthy and peaking at the end of the year. But this team, we have to see if they can play a new way. And like last night was the start of what that would look like in a perfect world. It's not going to be that easy like it was. They're not going to push around the Boston Celtics the way they pushed around Toronto. Evan Mobley actually had some success against Boston last year. But you know what I mean? Like there are going to be games that's going to be a lot tougher than that. And are they going to take on this new identity? You're only going to be able to do that over the course of a regular season. And I think the bonus of what they do have going for them, even though it's a new head coach, they have played together. So because this team has played together, and while I could argue certain things against bringing back the same core back, I will tell you it'll help them in the regular season. They are going to pick up this stuff really fast from a new head coach because they have the chemistry that they have. And I think that's what I'm going to be looking at. And then being able to kind of pivot from, hey, it's Donovan Mitchell's team to, can this start? I don't think this year it'll be Evan Mobley's team, but can it start to progress in that way? Maybe by next year.
Yeah.
And it has to start sometime. Really didn't start last year at all. Part of it was a lot of the injuries. Just Evan wasn't ready yet. He took 2 threes a game. He had that ankle injury last year. He was taking 2 threes a game. You know that the whole focus this offseason, no matter who is the coach, everybody knows it has to be Evan Mobley, because when you think about like why Boston is so darn good, what makes them good is they've got guys with size that can finish over anybody. And that's what separates the really good players, the wing players and above in this league. And we didn't really have that. You know, Donovan Mitchell is sensational, but in a series, sometimes, yeah, he can drop 50, but he can also have guys like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and their long arms over him making life really tough, and they weigh more than him. They can be physical at times. Evan Mobley at 6'11", with the skill set you saw last night, there's no defending that when he's on.
Tremendous performance. Let me get... Oh, go ahead.
Well, does it have to ever truly be Evan Mobley's team? Because whose team is it for the Celtics right now?
I'd be more comfortable if it was his. Just because of body type. Because
it's Jason Tatum's team, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But Jaylen Brown's the guy.
He was the MVP.
That, like, yeah, he's the catalyst of what they... Of their attitude.
I might argue that it was Jaylen Brown's team.
Well...
Why is Tatum the one that gets snubbed?
Tatum's been the face of the team, but you're right. You're saying there's more than one way to do this.
I think it'll always be Donovan Mitchell's team as long as Donovan's on the team, but Evan Mobley could be the one that drives everything, and it still be Donovan Mitchell's
team. Well, if teams have to pick up Evan Mobley at the three-point line, I mean, imagine what that does for this offense. That's a totally different construct.
Well, then you have four wide open lanes usually if they have to pick them up there. So there's that. But when I talk about the ownership of the team, and this is absolutely semantic, I think about who leadership values, who's got that dog in them, who's got it that they can call out other people who can do that. And I think with Evan, maybe he just might not have those traits. He might just be a quiet, more of a, this is, sounds like a slight, but a meek type of personality. I like to see his talent shine through, and the only way it can is with confidence. But Donovan, I mean, Donovan gets up and is ready to fight guys at a drop of a hat if he needs to. He's a very tough guy. Like, he's
not
an alpha guy.
Not backing down anything.
Yeah, so I could see it still. It would be more comfortable because of body type, yes, that Evan Mobley would be his team. Overall physicality, talent, it would probably be matchup-wise, it should be his team more. But yeah, if Donovan Mitchell ends up being the heart and soul of the club, then so be it. Maybe that's because that's what they're paying for in so many ways. When they were in Miami, and this becomes controversial to LeBron lovers, but it's true, and I love LeBron, whose team was it? It wasn't LeBron's team. It was Dwayne Wade's team. So if it ends up being Donovan Mitchell's team and Evan Mobley becomes the big piece, God bless him. Let's welcome in Mary Kay Cabot. She always has her head on straight. She joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What the hell's going on, Mary Kay? What was with that bombshell yesterday? He's giving up play calling. What's going on? Is he going to hold on to this job past November 10th? I'm not kidding you, Mary Kay. I'm nervous.
It's a good question. You never know what can happen when a team that is supposed to contend definitely for the playoffs and maybe for the Super Bowl is now 1-6 and going nowhere this season. And the only reason why I say that is because Jimmy Haslam is not a patient man. He really believed that this team was going to go somewhere. And now look at the fine mess everyone is in. It's really quite shocking. when you look at where the Cleveland Browns are right now. That was supposed to sort of be the easy part of the schedule. They haven't even gotten into the hard part. They haven't even gotten into being on Hard Knocks and having all of that play out on national television.
I forgot. Yeah. Again, December 3rd. That's right. We're just over a month away. Bing Crosby and Liev Schreiber and no. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad, especially for Browns fans. I hate what is happening for Browns fans because they were so excited about this season, and it's really, really unfortunate. As far as the play calling is concerned, I just think I really don't know what happened with that, to be honest with you, yet. I haven't had an opportunity to really dig around and find out what the genesis of this was, but the timing is certainly curious. I called for it to happen several weeks ago to see if Ken Dorsey couldn't pull something a little bit different out of Deshaun Watson. Now, when I look back on that, I think that Kevin Stefanski might have known that the offense was such a train wreck at that point. He didn't want to throw that hot potato over to Ken Dorsey and have him take the fall for it all. So I think he hung on to that responsibility, knowing that it was almost a no-win situation with the injuries on the offensive line and the players really not assimilating the new offense very well. Deshaun Watson having his struggles, Amari Cooper not being all in on everything at every moment. So I just think that he probably felt like he had to take responsibility for it himself. And now that they know that they are not making the playoffs, he can turn it over to Ken and see what Ken has, see what Ken can do, and that will help them probably for future planning.
I guess I just don't understand why, if we're sitting here trying to figure out why did it go wrong, what is happening, why wouldn't we just go back to the formula that worked at the end of last year, which was veteran quarterback who can sling it, who will go vertical and will actually read past the first read, and then Kevin Stefanski calling the plays?
Well, they could have done that, and who knows? That's not going to happen the rest of this season. I don't know why they decided not to do that. The other part of this is, and I'm not saying that they're not super crazy motivated to win, but if you win a bunch of games this year, then you're going to take yourself out of contention for one of the best quarterbacks in this draft, and I think they're going to need one of the top quarterbacks in this draft if they feel that one is there that can help them win in a big way down the road. Again, I'm not saying that that they're doing anything intentionally not to win as many games as they possibly can, but I'm not entirely certain that winning is the absolute number one priority at the moment.
Well, that sounds fun to hear for everybody involved here. So does that mean the Browns could then be sellers here over the next couple of weeks? Because I don't know if I heard wrong. Were you on Baskin and Phelps? Did you say they could end up being buyers of some sort?
They could be. If you see something out there that you think can help you in future years, for sure you would go ahead and make a deal like that. They could sell some guys off, but if you find, let's say you find a young receiver who can help you over the next 3 years, then you might want to go ahead and do something like that. Or maybe you even see a quarterback out there that you think can help you. Maybe that's something. And again, I don't want what I said before to... There's no way this football team is going out and trying to lose football games. That's not what I mean. I'm just saying that they know they're not going anywhere the rest of this year, and they have to figure some things out for moving forward and how they're going to rebuild this team.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, Mary Kay. How much then does it bother them that, you know, with the Dorian Thompson-Robinson injury, what did they want to see from him from the rest of the year?
Well, he's a quarterback that they have to evaluate and see if he can be part of the plan. Can he be a good backup? Can he be somebody that presses for a starting job? So that's what they need to ascertain. And I'm telling you, they really felt good about him around 53 roster cut time. And there was a period in which if they had gotten a good...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The offer for Jameis Winston, they would have considered it. They would have moved Dorian up to number two right away. So they always sort of viewed him in this fashion. And now, once he gets healthy, I think they'll want to take a better look at him.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us right now. It's obviously something that we touch on almost every day now because this thing has gone into a spiral, and we certainly know what has happened in the past with the Haslams and the organization. Right now, would you say Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are safe?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, they are safe. I think that Jimmy really does feel that he's hit upon alignment in the organization. I think he does really respect and like, obviously, Andrew and Kevin and just extended them and does not want to blow that up. I think he wants to exercise patience. But once again, sometimes things take on a life of their own when a team spirals and goes in the tank like this. And I don't know what will happen as they continue to evaluate it throughout the rest of this season and after the season. Certainly, some of the things that we're seeing on the football field are very disturbing to everyone watching it. All of the penalties and just they just look lost at time and just at times and disorganized at times. And you've got guys getting frustrated, and you want some of that passion. You want to see Jerry Jeudy getting mad and being upset that he's not getting enough targets and things like that. So you want them to still care, but there are some things going on. They had to bench Elijah Moore at the beginning of that game. It's just not the kind of football team right now that anybody can be very proud of, and hopefully for them, they can get some of that stuff turned around.
Do you believe that Deshaun Watson has taken his last snap for the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going to say the jury is still out on that one. I know that's the narrative that a lot of people want to put out there and want to believe, but when you have a cap hit of more than $72 million in each of the next 2 years, I don't think it's just that easy to say, oh, geez, he didn't play well this year. Let's just cast him aside. It's not that easy because of the economics of it all. Sure, you could cut your losses and try to move on and dig out from underneath this enormous cap hit and this enormous contract, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. And also, here's another thing to consider. This offense was so bad this year. The scheme didn't work, all the things that we've been talking about. Who knows if there isn't something left in the tank that just wasn't able to be seen this year because of everything going on with this offense. And if Jameis starts to look good, now we're not really going to know Is it because Ken Dorsey is calling the plays for him and that gave the offense a bump? Why didn't Deshaun Watson get that bump? What would Deshaun Watson look if Ken Dorsey was calling the plays? So it opens up a whole set of questions now about what may have happened. But I don't think that you can completely slam the door shut based on the economics alone.
Are they willing? It's October 24th. Are they willing to draft a quarterback high in the first round next year and then have Deshaun Watson be the backup?
I would never say never on anything. Even though Deshaun Watson got cheered by, and not all fans, by some fans while he was down injured, I still don't think that takes it to the point of no return. I do believe that there is a world in which he can come back here and be on this roster and either be part of challenging for the starting job or be the backup or mentor the young guy, something like that. I don't think that it's goodnight Irene yet on the whole Deshaun Watson experience.
Man, that is a tough scenario for me to envision after, I got to say, Deshaun Watson's approval rating as far as a quarterback goes in this town has to be the lowest since Johnny Manziel. Doesn't it, Ken? I mean, who's been lower? I mean, there have been bad quarterbacks, but approval rating?
There would be quarterbacks, but no, you can't really give them an approval rating because no one took them seriously.
I just don't know how they would sell excitement for the 2025 Browns with, hey, Deshaun Watson's back, and he's coming off another injury, one that who knows what that does to his feet. This is a year after, you know, the injury that did whatever to his shoulder. I just don't know how they would sell that to the fans.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to sell him as their bona fide starting number one quarterback, but he could be part of the picture. And so I think people just need to realize that the Browns are not going to run their franchise based on what the fans want. If they did that, then Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you know, could be their starting quarterback next year or could be starting now because people thought that he was going to be the answer. Well, maybe he can be the answer, but maybe he can't be. You can't go by what the fans want. That's not how you run your organization. You have to evaluate your football team for what you see with the experts who are paid to do just that. I'm not saying he's going to be the starting quarterback. I'm just saying that the people that want to completely write him off and say, we can't take this anymore, we don't want any more of this anymore, I don't know that it's completely over like that.
All right, Mary Kay, predictably, the players were not happy that one of their teammates got any reaction like that at all, considering all the emotion that was on the field that day when Watson went down the injury. And predictably after that, the fans struck back, were not happy at all that the players had anything to say, especially on a 1-6 football team. So how do we get past this? Is it just time? Does time need to move on? Because you had some significant guys. Jameis Winston's your starting quarterback. Miles Garrett, your reigning defensive player of the year. Even Nick Chubb yesterday did say that, yeah, teammates, we're not happy about this, even though he had a little more nuance to it. How do we get past this?
Well, as Nick pointed out yesterday, a victory would help. This is a passionate fan base. Everyone knows that. And I just don't know that it was as widespread as people seem to be making it out to be. I couldn't really hear it as much as obviously someone out in the stands could. Inside the press box, the cheering just wasn't as loud as it is being described now, but maybe it was. So I can't say that it wasn't. And when I did hear cheering, when I started to hear the cheering, and I was busy before then because I was trying to see what was going on with Deshaun and look at his facial expressions and watch the replay and see the calf reverberating and all of those kinds of things. But when I started to hear the cheering, it was when he was being carted off. And I thought, oh, that's good. They're cheering him out of support. And I know there was some of that. I mean, that's what happened when Chris Godwin was carted off the other night. You cheer to support the player. So I'm sure there was a mix at that moment of cheers for support and whatever else. The stuff that came before that, the players, you know, the players say that it was disgusting and horrible. And so I guess we have to take them at their word for that. I know Browns fans feel that it wasn't the whole stadium cheering for him, and so that maybe it was getting a little bit blown out of proportion. But I do think that the Browns and their fans need to somehow come back together and realize
this is a horrible season. Everyone's frustrated. Everyone's upset. And this isn't going the way anybody wanted it to. And the Browns players need to understand that these fans really are some of the best in the NFL, and that they can't cast aspersions on all of them for what happened on Sunday.
I think that a lot of them, I can understand in the moment, by the way, but I did feel a lot of them overreacted. I was in the stadium, and we've talked about it several times on this show, Mary Kay. That much I certainly agree with. By the way,
Ken's calling the players liars, Mary Kay.
I didn't call them. I did not say that at all. Don't say.
Oh,
don't
did you hear that?
No, I didn't. Don't do that.
What I heard.
Don't, I'm being serious about this. Damn it!
Classic.
Now stop it. Hold on. You can't just call people liars. I'm the one who's got to go in that building. When's the last time you've been in that building? So don't say I call them liars.
I don't think I'm allowed in that building.
You're more than welcome in that building. I saw your name on the list just the other day. All you have to do is fill out your name, and you're allowed in the building. So don't say I called them liars. I didn't call them liars. I said it was an overreaction. That's what I said. Sorry, Mary Kay. You got in the middle of that. Mike Vrabel on the sidelines. What'd you make of it?
Well, you know, you never really know. He said he wasn't going to be on the sidelines this season, but they're in dire straits right now. They need help. They need help in every area. And especially, I mean, look at special teams right now. The special teams cost them 11 points in this game, and he's very, very involved in special teams and helping Bubba Ventrone. So I think that, you know, it's all hands on deck right now. And Mike Vrabel is viewed very favorably in this organization. I don't know that it means anything for the future. I do know that the organization thinks very, very highly of him from top to bottom.
Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the very best to you and yours.
Same to you guys. Thanks for having me.
And it seemed that someone on Sunday wanted to cast aspersions. Some have since kind of walked it back over the last couple of days.
Now, did they walk it back because they had more time to think about the accuracy of their comments, or were they like, we have to play football in front of these guys. We might not like them and their reaction.
Probably a little bit of both.
We can't have it be this adversarial.
Yeah, well, again, you have to be, like I said earlier, if you try to go after the fans always win. There's like one guy who's ever kind of sort of gone after the fans and sort of won, and even in the end, that was a stalemate. That was LeBron. Everybody else, no, you ain't going to win. Especially when you're 1-6 and you're not going to win.
Yeah,
actually on the field very much. Like, you might win a few more games. Hopefully you win some more games, but I right now, that's probably up for debate for a lot of people. I think a lot of people might like him to lay down. I won't, but you know, a lot of people would. When you're not going to win a lot of games on the field, it's like, well, you better not take aim at the fans. You better not do that. Like when Shelby Harris... do we have more context to this clip? Do we have more? We have this longer clip. Of Shelby Harris. Clip,
why don't you think the clip speaks for itself?
I don't know.
I heard it.
I think it does. I heard the 30-second clip. I didn't like it. I didn't think it added much context. So we got about a minute and 20 seconds over here. You want to play the minute and 20 seconds?
Well, we better get to it.
All right. Here's defensive tackle. Then I'll get to the. I might get to the Vrabel stuff coming up soon after 9 o'clock here, because I got a weird theory for everybody. Here's Shelby Harris on his podcast, We Are the Harrises, on Guerrilla Sports.
It's not good to cheer for people being hurt. I also think fans are able to cheer when there's a change and thinking, hey, maybe this money that I've spent will be worth and we'll see some production. Hey, DTR can play now.
Yeah, so, but that, I mean, that wasn't what they were cheering for. The minute he went down grabbing his ankle, that's when the cheers came out. It had nothing to do with, oh, a new quarterback. They were cheering against this man. And that was the disgusting part about it. I get it. Everyone thinks, okay, a change will help fix the offense and maybe things will be different. But no, you cheered happily because the man got hurt. Had nothing to do with, okay, yeah, we're going to have a different quarterback. Because, yeah, there's been chance asking for Jameis or DTR. But the cheer because that man got hurt, that was the ugly part. Fans are allowed to express their feeling. Think about how it makes the other players on the team feel when someone else, one of their brothers, is out there on the, like, giving it their all and he gets hurt and you hearing cheering from the fans. Imagine how the team feels about the fans when you start hearing cheering for when their brother's down in pain rolling around. It's bigger than football sometimes. It's bigger than football. And I think the fans got to realize you lost a lot of the players that day because we stand for our brothers, obviously. We stand for them. as fans, we expect y'all, we get it. The, like I said, the year's not going the way we expected it to go, but there has to be a human aspect to it. And I feel like that's what was lost on Sunday.
Because I only heard 30 seconds of that, mm-hmm. and I didn't hear the beginning of that. And I immediately, I know how I react, and I reacted in a way when I first heard it. I looked at my phone last night, and I looked and I go, where do you get off saying we lost you? Where does that happen? No.
Well, do you agree that it should be bigger than football?
Yeah.
Do you think those fans were treating it bigger than football at that point?
No. No.
Right? Like, they just, the fact is,
no.
Like, if Watson was really good, would they have been doing that? Would they have been booing? And if the Browns were really good?
No.
They wouldn't have. Regardless of what he'd been accused of. We know that. We know how fans work in sports. We know what fans in Pittsburgh think of Big Ben when he won a Super Bowl. We know what fans in Baltimore think of Ray Lewis when he won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We know what Laker fans thought of Kobe Bryant because he won NBA Finals. If any of those guys were really bad at what they did or were on losing teams, I think it'd be a different story. I think you'd have a much different story to tell about all of that. So, yeah, I mean, we're hypocrites. We are. We care about winning. And what he is arguing there is it shouldn't be just about winning. Like, you should have some decency for the human element here. And I think that's just hard for fans that pay a lot of money, get liquored up, go into that stadium, worry all week about whether you're going to get a win or a loss. I don't think they see those players.
But my point is still four days.
I don't think they see them as human. I don't. We talked with Rodney about this.
If you're not going to see the fans as human, then they're not going to see you as human.
No, I don't think the fans see the players as human.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
I don't think they ever do, especially in that sport.
No, I think that they take – I think now, yes, in a lot of ways, you're right. I think that there are certain players, and I brought this up with Rodney 2 days ago, is that there are certain people that they let behind the wall. Nick Chubb is one of them. Miles is one of them. A couple of others. And then everybody else, it's like, well, as long as you win, we'll be fine. Like Greg Newsom, if he walked down the aisle at a grocery store right now, I think people would be perfectly fine with Greg Newsom. But if Greg Newsom goes out there and he's dancing and he just gets burned right after, well, people are going to have nasty things to say about
it. Well, it's the identity thing. We always say Doug Deacon is a great example. Like, we identified our fathers, our parents, our grandparents, they identified with Doug Deacon in a way that are you really ever going to identify with Deshaun Watson?
No.
Or even Myles Garrett, for that matter.
Well, it's
now, Myles has done his best. Like, Myles Garrett, it goes to things that you would never expect to see athletes go to. He takes pictures. He talks to people. He's gained friendships over video games and with Clevelanders. Like, he's done his best to try to identify, be identifiable as much as somebody that size and who's made that much money can be identified with. Like, I know that's not easy.
But I think Miles is one of those guys. For everybody else, like, when Miles said, and I know he said the model citizen part, and that's what upset some people out there. I don't think they really went after Miles a whole lot. But, like, when you have a guy who's a free agent
they pick
saying
Jameis
those things, they don't like it. When you have guys who have been with other teams around the league, they don't like it because they don't see you as part of the fabric of the community. Miles is part of the fabric of the community. He's a guy who can say. Nick is a guy who can say. They feel that Nick Chubb can walk into any house in Northeast Ohio and they will serve him dinner right now or breakfast right now. It doesn't matter. He's beloved in this area. Maybe the most liked with him and Jose Ramirez. They can do these things. They can say it. But the other ones? No, man. No. No. It's the same thing as if I were to sit there and I go, all Philly fans are garbage. All Philly fans are trash. All Philly fans have terrible things to say, are terrible people, just root for everything. If they pick up those comments, I'm going to get a bunch of nasty things. Where do I come off as a person who's only been to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania one time in my life? Where do I get off saying those things? And I think that fans feel the same way about players who, for the most part, are traveling mercenaries for them. You select the players you really like. Now, they see it differently, but you can't be surprised when the fans turn around and go, no, 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 no. Most of us didn't do that. Me, Bob Jackson or whatever, I didn't do that. You ain't going to tell me what I can and what I can't cheer. I don't care. I don't go over that. I don't like that type of behavior. I don't condone that type of behavior. You ain't going to tell me, a paying customer, a fan of this team for 50-odd years, who's raised a son, who has a grandson who's a fan of this team, that I was in the old stadium and the current stadium, and I'll be in the new one as well. You ain't going to tell me how to act.
That is never going to work. Because, again, there will be other Shelby Harrises. There will be other player X, Ys, and Zs. They'll find the other ones to root for.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.